I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine.
Presence in this place. Amen. Such a soothing spirit of healing, of balm of Gilead in this place tonight. So thankful for the Lord that He's with us. Amen. Amen. If you would stand with me, turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. Amen. Proverbs 27, verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Then James 4, 13 through 15 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. These scriptures ring loudly today. I don't know about you, but I've struggled all day. Felt a direction from the Lord for tonight, and was up really late studying and putting things together for this message. And when I got the first text from Brother Kevin Brown last night, right before midnight, asking us to pray for Robin within 25 minutes and a couple texts back and forth, I received the "she's passed away" text. Fiona and I sat in shock, eyes filled with tears. Sat there for another hour, and before I stumbled into bed, mentally, physically exhausted, and I felt like just continuing on and staying the course, but the further the day went along today, the more I knew I couldn't stay with what was planned. But what do I say, Lord? We're here tonight with heavy hearts. All you have to do is take a look at Robin's Facebook feed today, and you would instantly know the impact that she's had on this church as a whole in ministry, but more importantly, most importantly, personally with so many of us. Today, Robin's been described as loving, caring, selfless, giving, full of laughter, a bringer of joy and comfort, someone who made you feel special, sweet, kind, humble, an example, and faithful. I've struggled to wrap my head around the shock that I've been feeling and the suddenness and unexpectancy of her passing. In the midst of prayer this afternoon, the Lord spoke a question into my spirit, and that question is, why do we engage? Why do we engage? Just a forewarning for all those who are keeping track, Dan Powell, this will be a shorter message. I will average it out next week, so. Amen. Beginning in the first quarter of this year, we heard about empowerment, talking about how God will empower our lives with this Spirit. When we reach up to God, He will fill us with the Holy Ghost, give us power to live an overcoming life, and so much more. And we transition into equip in the second quarter. And when we reach in through discipleship, we're taught the principles found in the Word of God. We're equipped so we can live a holy life, pleasing unto God. In this final quarter, we've been in the theme of engage. We've been challenged to engage our faith, engage our talents, our abilities. We reach out through evangelism, through ministry, through witnessing, through inviting folks to church, through talking to folks about Jesus. We engage the word of God, engage ourselves with Jesus. But why do we engage? What's the why behind it all? What is the underlying purpose? In the summer of 1995, my brother Joel moved here to attend UW-Madison, moved straight from Germany. We were in Germany and came back to my parents did to travel, raise funds like missionaries do. I finished up high school in St. Paul area, but he came here first. He was only here for 3 or 4 years, but it was in that first year or second year, he couldn't remember exactly when, that he worked at a place called Frank's Place. No connection to Robin Frank. But the only connection was that it was a cafeteria on campus, and it was there that he did meet Robin. She worked there as well, fellow UW-Madison college student. Very musical. She played in the UW marching band. I don't know if you knew that, but had walked away because of the atmosphere of the band. She was hungry for more in life, hungry for God, and in walked my brother into her life. He taught her the one lesson Bible study into his marvelous light on one particular Saturday. The very next day, he brought her to church where she received the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name that very first service that she was here. That very next day on Monday, she showed up at work with Joel and she was wearing a skirt. No one had ever said anything about holiness or modesty, but she grasped it just from observing. And she just her hunger to know the Lord, to live righteously, to do what He wanted to do. She jumped right in all the way. She had been empowered with the Holy Ghost because my brother chose to engage. The Knops and Sarah George were integral in discipling her and equipping Robin over the next months and years. And now 20 years later, brave Sister Robin, as we called her, has engaged herself has helped many in turn to get empowered in their lives. Why do we engage? It's because of the Robins in the world. If for nothing else, my brother was sent to Madison for 3 to 4 years to engage one young lady and change her life for eternity. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We can engage for all sorts of reasons. Because we have talent, because we want to be part of something bigger than ourselves, because we love kids, so we engage in children's ministry or young people, because we feel it's mandated in Scripture, and so we maybe feel obligated to, because we're bored, have nothing else to do, and there's just a great group of people love hanging out with the family of God, so I'm just going to engage and get plugged in, because we get a sense of accomplishment from it. Or perhaps we don't engage because we don't see a purpose to do so. There are myriad reasons why one chooses to engage, but to be biblically engaged in the kingdom of God, that reason can only be one thing for another Robin that's out there. If you teach the 4-year-old class, it's not just kids. You're instilling the word of God in a child whose fruit you may not see for 15 years, but you can be an impact in that child's life. Josiah turned 2 yesterday, and it's amazing how much a 2-year-old can get in their hearts. They may not entirely grasp the concept, but it can get in their hearts and minds, and they'll grow into it. If you're cleaning the church and the bathrooms, you're not just helping pastor out with the menial tasks that have to be done. No, you're making sure that the guest who walks into those doors isn't distracted by a funky smell, but can be free to be fully touched by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Why do we teach life classes? Well, that's not really reaching out. It's folks who have already received. Well, you're equipping them so that someday they will in turn engage, and the process starts all over again. Why do we engage? It's for the Robins out there. John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come," this is Jesus speaking, "that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." We engage to introduce someone else to Jesus. There's so much hurt and pain and destruction in this world, so much darkness. But we can be the light in this dark world, the light that shines, that leads someone to Jesus, who will give them life more abundantly. Matthew 5:14-16, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." It's the reason why we engage. It's the reason why we engage. Young people, there are Robins in your middle school or high school. We've been a national effort by the UPCI Youth Ministries for P7 Bible clubs. And we've got a couple going. And it's not just to have a club to hang out. There are Robins in your school that are desperate. We've heard the testimonies at Winter Youth Convention of Harrison and Callie Dibbs, and those that families just are, there's separation, divorce, kids are pretty much left to do their own thing, hurting, and it was a P7 Bible club that some young person said, I've got to engage. It's the why behind why we engage is the Robins that are out there. Fiona and I went to Beans and Cream last night to do our final celebration of the day for Josiah turning 2. I got a little play area in there. He loves that. And 2 16-year-old girls walked in, got coffee, sat down, opened up their Bibles, and just started talking about the things of the Lord. I was challenged for you guys. I was challenged for you guys. Fiona chatted with them before we left, and they said, we like to do this because we need just another good Christian friend to bounce things off of, because it's hard being a teenager with all the other stuff going on in this world. There are young people just like this, just like these two in your school. It's the reason why efforts like P7 are pushed and you're challenged to. It's not just the thing to do, but it's life-changing, eternity-impacting in someone's life. It's the reason why we engage, but engaging can too easily become about what tasks are needed to be checked off and not the souls we can be reaching. So how do we remember why we engage? How do we keep that purpose in our focus? Number one, someone told Fiona that Robin was always present in the moment with you. She always had time for you to talk, laugh, hang out, do whatever, be silly. Sometimes when we're engaged, we can tend to run around to and fro and not stay in the moment. I encourage you, walk slowly in life. Don't let the American culture of busyness run your life. It's such an ingrained spirit of busyness, specifically in America. I've said this before. We went to Germany. After we were married, I went back to Germany, took Fiona. As soon as we got off the plane, coming home back to the United States, just got to do this, got to do that, got to do this. Just our minds, just there's a spirit of busyness in the United States. If we slow down, we can be in tune to the needs of others, to what they're saying. We can be in the moment. That coworker who expresses their weariness in life may be the one God wants you to engage. That neighbor who lets you know about the health condition they're facing doesn't need to come to church. You can engage your faith and pray for them right there in their house, on the sidewalk in front of the house, wherever you may be. When we stay in the moment, we can remember why we engage. Having the true purpose of engaging is hard because we all face life ourselves, which can be distracting. So the second way we can remember why we engage is to get our minds off ourselves. Past month or so, I've been going through a very stressful, unsettling time at work. It's caused me to worry about the future and finances. And the Lord spoke to me today as I was putting this together this afternoon and showed me how I've been worrying so much about myself that it's distracted me from engaging others. Last month. Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. As we mature in Christ more and more, Proverbs 3 should be our mantra. In chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him and in all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. One special thing about Robin that I experienced firsthand was that she put others first all the time. All the time. It never was about her or her issues or what she needed. It was always about engaging, blessing, impacting others. When we get our minds off ourselves, we can remember that why we engage. And then the last thought, another way to remember why. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We're instructed to give thanks. Thankfulness puts things into proper perspective. The Bible says that we should enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Before we get into his courts and before we get into the holy of holies and the innermost place and where we just want the power of God to know, it starts with thankfulness. And when we count our blessings, naming them one by one, as the old chorus says, it'll help us keep the proper perspective going in our lives. We remember how good God has been to us. We'll want to tell someone all over again. When we're thankful, we can remember why we engage. And if Sister Vicky would come, And if you would stand, I told you I was going to be very brief tonight. We need to ask ourselves in all our efforts to engage, is the reason why truly behind those efforts? Is it at the core of why we do what we do, or are we simply doing? Men's ministry, ladies' ministry, youth ministry, campus ministry, cleaning, serving food, Thanksgiving dinner, children's program, children's ministry, baptizing folks, handing out flyers, whatever and anything, willing hands, making meals for people. Is it just because, hey, I like to cook, so this is where I can get plugged in? Or is it, you know what, someone may be sick and they don't have time to cook, so I'm going to pray over this food as I cook it. It's going to be the most delicious. Even if I'm not a good cook, God is going to just bless it with flavor, extra spice. All the comments about Robin clearly show her legacy. She engaged and helped others be empowered in the process. Engagement turns into empowerment for someone else. They get equipped. They engage, which turns into empowerment in someone else. They get equipped. They engage, which turns into empowerment in another life. If you're going through the motions tonight, I want to you to reflect, and I want to challenge you to find the why again. If you haven't engaged like you know you can or you should, I hope you see the why tonight, which will get you engaged. We can talk about the scope of eternity and our engagement in the Word of God and engaging in prayer and Bible reading and, you know, these times, the times of losses, it causes us all to reflect. Maybe that's you tonight. Are you engaged in the simple day-to-day disciplines with the Lord? As we mourn the loss of our friend and our sister, as we celebrate her legacy, as we smile at the fun times, cry at the void that's left in our own hearts, in our own lives, let's remember the why. There's another Robin out there that needs you, that needs me. I wanted to keep this short tonight so we can have truly some time to reflect on this thought, but also once again so we can join together as family, take some time to grieve. We'll see Robin again someday in glory. Let's just make sure the why is in our hearts and our spirits so that day we'll have as many folks as we can to say, Robin, you missed out on meeting them, but look, we'll spend eternity. This is so-and-so. And they're here. Why? Because I took that thought of engaging, and I wanted to engage someone else. It's why we engage. As they begin to sing, let's just all join together up front. Let's gather together as a family, as a church family. Let's begin to reflect. Reflect in your own life. Reflect in your involvement, in your engagement. Do you have a why? The why is another Robin that's out there. Hallelujah. Let's seek after the Lord tonight.
That you, my King, would die for me. and it's my joy to worry in all I do. I honor you, and I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted.
Thank you. I'm desperate for you.